know how Git works, right?
Sorta. Kinda. Not really. Please ask someone else.
That's all of us. Git is how we build things, and Netlify is one of the best ways I've found to build those things quickly for the web. Netlify's Git-based workflows mean that you don't have to play slap and tickle with integrating arcane nonsense and webhooks, which are themselves about as well understood as Git. Give them a try and see what folks ranging from my fake Twitter for pets startup to global Fortune 2000 companies are raving about. If you end up talking to them, because you don't have to, they get why self-service is important, but if you do, be sure to tell them that I sent you and watch all of the blood drain from their faces instantly. You can find them in the AWS Marketplace or at www.netlify.com. Netlify.com. Last week, the preview of the next version of Amazon Linux was announced, and I, perhaps unsurprisingly, have issues with it beyond its uninspired name of Amazon Linux 2022. Before I begin, I just want to make a plea that will almost certainly fall upon deaf ears. Please, please, please don't email me about this. Yes, I know that your favorite distribution or operating system is better than AL 2022. I'm aware that my opinions are bad and I shouldn't be allowed to touch a computer ever again, and your opinions on this are gospel. Just don't email me about it, please, as a favor. So once upon a time, Amazon Linux and Amazon Linux 2 were based upon Red Hat Enterprise Linux, or RHEL, that's R-H-E-L, as their upstream Linux distribution. Based upon is doing a lot of heavy lifting here. Amazon Linux follows its upstream in the same way that ducks follow migrating caribou. Now it tracks Fedora as its upstream provider. For those who aren't familiar with Fedora, it can be considered to be Red Hat's development version of the next RHEL. Again, please do not email me. The Fedora community releases new versions every 6 months, and they're supported for 13 months, or roughly half the lifespan of a Google consumer product. Fedora is woefully unsuited for the old way of running servers. That is to say, in a stable and supported manner that doesn't require re-imaging the machines every 6 months. Some of the features found in Fedora are improvements, some are drawbacks, and most are just different in various ways. Remember back when everything you knew about init systems was tossed in its head because of systemd? If you don't know what I'm talking about, oh, how I envy you. Most notably, in AL 2022, Yum, for Yellow Dog Updater Modified, is no longer the package manager of choice, having been replaced by DNF. It works basically like Yum did, except it's a whole new syntax because the author's clearly DGAF. That's okay, fine, whatever. No, the big change that's going to break the internet is the choice to enable SE Linux by default. SE Linux is a 20-year-old system jointly developed by Red Hat and the U.S. National Security Agency, whose intended purpose is to enhance the state of Linux security, but in practice, throws inscrutable errors that vex people until they snap and turn it off entirely. Note, because you will need this later, the way to disable it is to run the command setenforce, all one word, zero, as root. To make it persist through reboots, set selinux to disabled in /config. See, Linux generally views security controls in terms of Linux ACLs, ownerships, and permissions. SE Linux goes a step beyond that and enforces a series of mandatory access controls, intent-based contextual permissions, and what presents entirely as sheer spite. It requires not only that you as the customer configure SE Linux controls properly, but that so do all of the packages that you install in the system, or it fails with mysterious reasons. The audit to allow command, that's audit, the number two, allow, all one word, helps you craft custom policies for SE Linux, but you've got to realize that SE Linux is why it's breaking in the first place, and it'll get remarkably tiresome for customers to configure this across their fleets. I'm betting they won't do it in most companies, and this translates into AL 2022 ceding the AWS customer OS space almost entirely to Ubuntu in the coming years, solely because this one is just kind of broken and we don't know why.
This episode is sponsored in part by something new.
Cloud Academy is a training platform built on two primary goals: having the highest quality content in tech and cloud skills, and building a good community that is rich and full of IT and engineering professionals. You wouldn't think those things go together, but sometimes they do. It's both useful for individuals and large enterprises, but here's what makes this something new. I don't use that term lightly. Cloud Academy invites you to showcase just how good your AWS skills are. For the next 4 weeks, you'll have a chance to prove yourself. Compete in four unique lab challenges where they'll be awarding more than $2,000 in cash and prizes. I'm not kidding. First place is $1,000. Pre-register for the first challenge now, one that I picked out myself on Amazon SNS image resizing, by visiting cloudacademy.com/Corey, C-O-R-E-Y. That's cloudacademy.com/Corey. We're going to have some fun with this one. I assure you, I'd love to be wrong almost as much as the Stop Disabling SELinux.com webpage that Red Hat's Major Hayden so lovingly curates wants me to be wrong, but I just don't see it happening. The issue is one of human nature. Doing things properly gives way to, will you freaking ship already, and people take shortcuts. Once you've disabled SE Linux across everything, it's a colossal pain to re-enable it and get everything set up properly. I'm not betting on people taking time to get security right. I'm betting on their requirement for expedience and need to solve for business outcomes to mean that every shop that doesn't employ someone well-versed in the magic of SE Linux to either disable it immediately or determine that AL 2022 is somehow weirdly broken and avoid it. Either everyone needs to fix things and be a lot more diligent, or people have to run set and force zero. I know which one I'm banking on. As for the rest of AL 2022, it's mostly fine. The two-year major release cycle with quarterly minor releases combined with a five-year support lifecycle for each release is sensible. You probably don't want things older than that running in your cloud environment, though of course they are and will be. At general availability, it'll support kernel live patching, so you won't need to reboot to get security updates. As a counterpoint, by default, the plugin for managing repository versions will lock to the same version that was used to build the Amazon Machine Image, or AMI. Remember, two syllables wrong, three syllables good when pronouncing AMI. That you're using, thus no security updates will be applied. This is a crappy plan versus RHEL and CentOS's historical pattern of backporting security fixes, and I suspect we'll rue the day when this was decided before too much longer. And of course, this is another attempt by AWS to say that they're serious about contributing to open source, even though the primary benefits of this Linux distribution are only going to be felt when you're paying by the hour to run them in your AWS environment. Yes, you can choose to theoretically run it on your own systems. I just don't know why you'd do that in isolation. Honestly, I suspect the longest holdup in releasing this new version of Amazon Linux came simply from their attempting to figure out what to call it.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.